In the high-tech war on terror, much depends on an old-style fighting force. Even as American drones fly over Pakistan, a local militia has done much of the recent fighting on the ground. The troops are recruited from tribal areas near the border, and they stay near home. They're kept separate from Pakistan's army.
Back in colonial times, the British created this paramilitary force to patrol what's known as tribal agencies. The British never fully controlled those lands, and Pakistan doesn't either. Now that paramilitary force has to flush out Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders. My co-host, Steve Inskeep, traveled to Peshawar, Pakistan, and spoke with their commander.
His name is Major General Tariq Khan. We met him in a massive, centuries-old brick fortress that overlooks this city of Peshawar. General Khan's troops are spread out to the north and west of here in Pakistan's tribal areas, and he contends that he's clearing those mountainous areas of Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters.
2 years ago, NATO convoys were being attacked. The international route leading into Afghanistan was under threat. Peshawar had 50 kidnappings a day on an average. There was an odd suicide attack almost every day, and in the city we even reached a stage where we were getting 2 suicide attacks a day. Bajor was an independent state run by an Afghan commander. He had his own revenue system and he had his own parallel government. If you look at it now, it's all gone.
General Tariq Khan is fighting with a force that's as unique as the tribal areas themselves. These are areas that have always been largely outside the government's direct control. The Frontier Corps troops are drawn from the ethnic Pashtun tribes that inhabit this mountainous region. They've traditionally been a lightly armed force, although lately they've been working with American-supplied body armor and, in some cases, sniper rifles. They still face fierce fighting. In fact, on the morning we visited, General Khan was absorbing news that one of his lieutenant colonels had just been killed in a firefight. It happened in the tribal area called Orakzai.
There was a very, very intense engagement, and the lieutenant colonel decided to lead the engagement himself, and in the process made the mistake of telling these people to lay down their weapons. He should have just shot at them.
How have their tactics changed, your tactics?
Our tactics have changed in the sense that previously we were fort-bound and garrisoned.
Stayed in forts.
It was a positional posture. What we've done is that we've started patrolling the area by day and by night. Each patrol links up with another patrol, so it's been a good way of going about doing things. The other issue is that we've started doing a lot of night operations. That has helped us a lot. Then what we've done is we've taken the people into confidence. We've tried to convince them that we're not going anywhere. And therefore, with the support of the people, we've been able to build up a local village-based defense. And we don't waste troops in holding ground as much as handing it over to the people.
When you talk about night operations, are your troops equipped with night vision equipment?
No, but then do remember that there were night operations before night vision devices too. So we've had to go back to basics. One of the techniques that we've adopted is what I call move and observe. So somebody gives an overwatch, and under the overwatch, others move and occupy positions.
You leapfrog from one position to the other. In the past, wasn't the Frontier Corps something of a symbol of some of the challenges of the entire tribal areas because they were not integrated into the broader army necessarily? You had people who were very local, who were patrolling a local area rather than being mixed into a broader unit.
That still is the case. And they're not integrated into the army, and they will never be integrated into the army. Let me explain. The army follows command and control through proper procedures. Here you have people parted by 1 kilometer in between. The only bondage between them is tribal. So there is a command and control through a historical tribal tradition. And this can't change. If you want to change that, you not have the Frontier Corps.
When you do have to work within the tribal structure, don't you sometimes end up with questions of troops that are not necessarily comfortable fighting among their own tribesmen, their own relatives, their own friends?
I have never had a problem with the troops operating in an area within their own tribal area. But I have had problems at the Shia-Sunni business.
Sectarian issues.
And that kind of sectarian issue has caused some problems at times. But I insisted that I will follow through the same troops because I don't want to start this kind of a tradition and a precedence.
Can these tribal areas remain permanently somewhat outside the normal government system of the rest of the country?
I wouldn't recommend that. They can, but they shouldn't. We should bring in conventional governance. But I disagree with people who feel that they can do that overnight. This will not take less than 3 to 5 years. And I think any sudden changes would probably break a system which is already in place.
What do you say to Americans who are impatient in a year or two to see dramatic results, that maybe it's 3 to 5 years, really, at least, to complete this process that you have in mind?
Well, I would tell them to be patient and come and understand the situation. We need to bring about rehabilitation, opportunity and development to the area and establish infrastructure before we give it conventional governance.
You yourself are from the tribal areas where your men are fighting.
Yes, I actually belong to Tank South Waziristan. And my family has 400 years of lineage there, and most of the people recognized me.
What's an insight that you gained from your upbringing that you think maybe would be news to people who did not grow up in the tribal areas?
Well, it's a very strange environment, and it's a very different kind of people that we work with. You know, they have an exaggerated perception of their own history.
What do you mean, exaggerated perception?
You know, you can take a Pashtun, and he's a very, very complicated kind of a person with murder in his heart and poetry on his lips, you know, and tradition is what really is the system of governance within this area. We may not agree with it, it might be very primitive, but it kept peace there for 5,000 years. I remember in Bajor, and I remember a lesson my grandfather told me, that don't ever mess around with an elder. And when I got to Bajor, and there was this old man with a grey beard and blue eyes sitting on a bed, and I met him and I told him, I said that you're not a good Pashtun, you let militants come here, they took away your women and children, you should be ashamed of yourself. And he had tears in his eyes as he got up and he held my chin, which is a sign of submission, and said, where were you before this? Where's the government? Where were you people when we were being, you know, decimated and killed and all
Why
that?
Why weren't you
that,
protecting me?
Yes,
that's what he was
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. And I thought it was a very valid question.
Hmm. General, thanks very much.
You're most welcome.
Morning Edition, Steve Inskeep speaking with General Tariq Khan of Pakistan's Frontier Corps in Peshawar. The general mentioned there a tribal area run as a parallel state. Tomorrow, Steve reports from that area on Pakistan's effort to restore control.